Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
Good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. It's MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, thank you all for joining me. I hope calving is going well for you all. Wet and mild is how we can describe the weather into the next few days. Thankfully, a totally different February from last year so far. So, 14th of February today. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. I know busy farmers everywhere throughout the Midlands and further afield. I don't have much time to think about it, but you better get a present for your loved one this evening. If you don't have one yet, what are we talking about, 7 o'clock here, you better get your skates on, get into a local shop or filling station. I'm sure you'll grab a card, a few chocolates, maybe a couple of flowers yet at this stage. It has to be done. So just a little reminder if it hasn't been done yet. Now, on the show this week, and in a moment, I'll be speaking to Offaly man John Cleary, who has just become beef chair of the ICSA. We're going to chat about his new position and also banks, how they need to be more cognizant of farmers' needs and how the good old checkbook is going nowhere when doing business in agriculture. John found himself in a position where he didn't have a checkbook for a couple of weeks, and it led to a few issues on his farm, and it led him to think about the fact that how checkbooks are so important for farmers. We all have one, and the banks need to acknowledge that they're not going to go anywhere, not even going to say in the near future, ever really in agriculture, because they're just a way of doing business. Chagas also are holding a spring tillage seminar in Tullamore next week. So differing break crops are one of the topics on the agenda. Those of beet and maize are areas of discussion, and Shay Phelan from Chagas will chat to me about the metrics and indeed the financials of these crops a little later on in the programme. It's a time of year where calving cameras are the most used piece of equipment on farms across the country, and a man who is in the camera business is Jerry Strong from Ballinasloe. One of the big benefits with his cameras is that you don't need the internet in your shed, as it can work off a simple SIM card like the one in your phone. Can be topped up monthly, as much or as little as you use the camera. That's one of the biggest selling cameras Jerry has, and they're selling throughout the country. He's going to chat to us a little bit later about what you need. He also has a solar camera that doesn't need a power source at all. And believe it or not, farmers are buying them for herding, use of herding in paddocks, putting them up on posts in the corner, and then off they go on maybe an out farm or an out block, and they can keep an eye on gates and water as a result of having them there. So ingenious, really. We're going to hear about those in a little bit. Now, as we know, a huge surge of entrants have joined organic farming over the last 12 months or so. About the last 12 or 15 months, huge numbers gone into organics. And with the rise in entrants has meant a rise in the number of training courses also. There is a course of this nature taking place in Birr in the County Arms Hotel tomorrow week. And Sean McGloin from NOTS, they're called, the National Organic Training SkillNet, is going to join me to chat about it. And also, if you've got into organics this year, so just gone by, and you've got the nod as of 1 January, you're going to have to do a 25-hour course, I believe, before the end of next August in order for you to tick the box and get your payment. So Sean's going to give us details of those as well. Now, text or WhatsApp me here on 083 3010 103. Be happy to put anything to any of our guests here this evening. Now, as I said, John Cleary from County Offaly, just out the road, is joining me on the line. John is the newly appointed ICSA beef chair. John, many thanks for joining me on the programme.
You're very welcome, MJ. Thanks for having me.
More than welcome, John. A few different areas we're going to chat about now over the course of the next few minutes. But the first one is, you've got the nod, beef chair with the ICSA. So, look, fair play. You must be delighted to get such a role. Can you just give us a little bit of background on your own enterprise, what you're doing, and what's led you into this position, please?
Thanks for that, MJ. Yeah, and to your listeners, good evening. I became the chairman of the beef committee, the ICSA, there 2 weeks ago at our AGM. We are farming here. I'm in a partnership with my brother. We've been long in a partnership. We milk cows and had a finishing system all along through our working life. Up to maybe about 10 years ago, we exited the dairy thing and fully focused in on the beef finishing enterprise. We're in the business of finishing heifers. We buy them as forward stores, and we bring them then through to the slaughter stage. and the sort of I'm selling out virtually every week. It's a continuous flow, and it's a bit like the mixed business before. You know, it's a sort of a constant cash flow, and it leaves it easier then to keep an eye on input costs and selling margins or profit margins then from what you get from the marketplace. So it's a pretty busy lifestyle we have, or busy enterprise we have, and you know, it's something that we relish doing, and we have all the gear there from past farming experiences. So it's putting it all to good use now at this stage. So it's something we like doing, and it's something we'll be doing for the foreseeable future.
And your finishing system, John, your finishing forward heifers, presumably you're going for a quality animal. Have you found, or are you finding, that sourcing animals is an issue? It's one thing I hear, just talking to farmers here week in, week out in the programme, quality is definitely becoming an issue.
Yeah, the main type of animal we focus on are the sort of continental breeds. You know, they're the ones that you can get you know, plenty of weight on, and you know, you sort of get a good conversion rate from those type of animals. Yes, the biggest sort of challenge we see going down the road now is the amount of these animals that are becoming that little bit scarcer in the markets. And you know, there's a vibrant export trade there for all the male counterparts, and to a certain extent some of the females. So it's leaving, you know, numbers on the home front that little bit tighter to get and source. But sure, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea to be in the beef finishing business. So we're hoping, you know, that there'll be enough for us all to go around for the foreseeable future anyway, MJ, you know.
No, you're dead right, John. It's not for everyone, and I need to be brave, and you need to have the courage of your convictions at certain times of the year, especially at the moment. If we're looking at mart prices at the moment, we'll talk about factory prices in a moment, but mart prices at the moment, some astronomical prices being paid for lighter stock at the moment, at 360, 380, sub 400, say Angus heifer, freely making €1,000. Yeah. Euro. Like, it's you're looking at it at the moment, and you're saying to yourself, the people who are buying this, maybe they have a crystal ball, or they see something coming down the tracks that I can't see. But like, beef is going to have to be up on top of €6 or north of it to make money on these. Like, can you see this occurring, or do you have the same thought process as me on this, John?
I totally agree with your sentiments, MJ. You know, there's some crazy prices being paid there in markets at the moment, and as you rightly say, they're anything under 400 euro, under 400 kilos, are making close from 350 to €4 a kilo. Now, they're a little bit easier when you go between the 4 and 5. That's what we were focusing on. But in recent weeks, we've stopped virtually sort of buying it because, you know, there's really no sense in some of the prices that have been paid. And, you know, you talk about €6 a kilo down the road. We've always been promised, you know, to you know, that prices are going to get better or stronger. But in this business, you have to be quite cautious. And input costs now are so high, and energy costs and fertilizer costs, that, you know, it's a tight margin business, and you have to be sort of extremely careful, because you can go into a loss-making situation quite quickly now, you know. So I don't know, there is a tendency there, or a sort of a consensus, you know, that beef prices are going to be sort of quite buoyant for the remainder of the year. But sometimes you have to see these things when you believe them, or believe them when you see them. So I would be quite cautious of beef prices, because at the end of the market, you have the consumer, and they're constrained in what they can pay for. But having said that, right across Europe, consumers are paying a lot more for beef than maybe Irish counterparts. So the whole emphasis would be to maybe focus in on good export markets into the more lucrative markets. And that's what I would be hoping, you know, that it will continue on. But there are many challenges within the farm gate here in Ireland. And I see, you know, the biggest sort of risk there at the moment regarding sort of the production cost is the focus from the cap payments refocusing from food production supports to environmental supports. And you know, it's something that we in the organisation are quite concerned about, because environmental costs, you know, also cost money to adapt to. And if you're having to try and run a food or a cattle business alongside having environmental expenses, then, well, the two don't really tally up. So you're really down on a net sort of margin then, per head, per animal, per acre then at the end of the year, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I also echo your sentiments on caution just with cattle prices at the moment, and really, I suppose, understanding your system and your costings before you go into it. Just a word, John, before you go, before I let you go, and that is on the area of checkbooks. I saw a piece you wrote maybe last week on how you ran out of a checkbook, yourself and your brother, on the farm. It took a couple of weeks to get one, and it kind of got you thinking about just how reliant we are in agriculture and in farming on the good old checkbook, and how I know there's a big push on bank payments now and IBANs and all these things, but for the average farmer, the checkbook is something he or she needs on a weekly, if not a daily basis, and it needs to stay, and banks need to be just cognizant of that.
Oh yeah, the checkbook is a fundamental sort of tool that Irish farmers are using day in, day out. And it really came to our attention there recently when we discovered that there was no new checkbook arriving in the post. So we rang our local bank because we were down to the last one or two, and we discovered then that they had an issue with their printer. And apparently this printer had gone out of business in recent weeks, just maybe in the early part of the new year. But what really the most annoying thing about the whole thing, MJ, was the lack of communication from the bank. And you know, farmers are totally dependent on a checkbook to run their business, and you can't be running into a town to get a bank draft at a short notice or trying to do something online out here in rural Ireland, because broadband is not always as effective as it should be. So it was a sort of a sleight of hand, we felt, you know, as an organisation to the farming community and maybe the rural community, you know, that banks were sort of taking us for granted. And that was the most annoying thing of the whole lot, was the lack of communication and the sort of the carefree attitude, which you're looking, whenever it happens, you'll get your new checkbook. But anyway, at the moment, these checkbooks haven't arrived yet, MJ, and we're told yesterday it could be towards the end of the month. So we're hoping and waiting that it will come as quickly as possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me. Congratulations again on the new appointment. And look, we'll be speaking to you plenty here on the programme during the course of your tenure. John Cleary, many thanks.
Thanks, MJ. Thank you.
And as I said, John there from the ICSA, newly appointed beef chair, Offaly man. And interesting point just on the checkbooks. Just wondering, is that a dry run by banks? Maybe just stop checkbooks going out for a few weeks, see how people react, see is there much pushback. There is a huge push away from paper. Everything wants to go online. Suits everyone, I suppose, to have it all online because it's more straightforward, more transparent. But that's all well and good when you're buying hay from someone up the country, or they're coming down, and maybe you're buying stock or buying a trailer or whatever it is. A lot of older farmers just don't have the capabilities, don't have smartphones for bank transfers there as they stand, and they rely on it. So it's just a really important part of rural Ireland, and it's something we need to ensure that people are aware of. Now, before I go, I said it was St. Valentine's Day today, and I came across a story about St. Valentine earlier on that I hadn't been aware of before. So he was originally a priest back in ancient Rome, I suppose, back a long time ago. And at the time, the Roman emperor was fighting lots of wars, as went on at these times, but he couldn't get anyone to sign up for the armies because the men wanted to stay at home with their wives and their children. So I'd say the women were happy back in ancient Rome because that was occurring. But what the emperor did then was he decided to put a ban on marriage. And he said to himself, all these young single men then would go and join the army, and he'd have no problem getting an army for fighting all these wars abroad. But what was occurring then was a priest called Father Valentine was marrying couples in private. So the emperor at the time heard about this in Truman Jail. And when he was in jail, he ended up falling in love with a girl called Julia. And Julia was the daughter of the jailer. And cutting a long story short, he ended up writing her a card, and at the end of it he said, "From your Valentine," and it was professing his love to her. He met with a grisly end, Father Valentine. The emperor ended up putting him to death, and he ended up being buried. But the interesting part of the story is that he was exhumed and his remains were brought to Ireland. And Father Valentine, as he was, he's now Saint Valentine, his remains are in a church in Whitefriar Street in Dublin. So if you're ever in Dublin, Whitefriar Street is close enough to Christchurch. You can pop down and St. Valentine's remains are there. It's a wonder it's not a really big tourist attraction in Ireland or in Dublin, because I only heard of this, as I said, recently. And I think the majority of people aren't familiar with it. So maybe it'll become one like the Guinness Storehouse, people will come from all over to see Father or Saint Valentine's remains. Now, a break. And after the break, we're going to be talking to Shay Phelan from Chagas. He's going to be speaking about a tillage event taking place in Tullamore next week. So stay tuned.
Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore. Supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Moving on to tillage, and I've leashman Shay Phelan on the line. Shay, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, Jim.
Shay, it is an event taking place next Tuesday evening, 20th of February. It's in Tullamore Court Hotel here, just down the road from us, and it's on at 7 p.m. It's on the area of spring crops. Obviously, look, coming at this time of year, we won't feel it now, fingers crossed, until the plough is out and ground is being turned over. You're looking at a few different areas here. We'll run through them and then we'll focus specifically on your paper, Shay. One of the areas is exploring organic cereals. Look, organic, sure, we can't avoid it. It's everywhere. It's all around us now.
Yeah, it is. It's look, the targets are there, and I suppose one thing that we've done in Chagas is we've resourced the area unlike what was there before. And there's a very good speaker there, a colleague of mine called Martin Burke, who's come along to talk about organics. And I suppose what's good about Martin is he's practiced or he's been practicing organics himself, so he knows exactly the challenge that organic tillage farmers face. So yeah, Martin's a very good guy to talk about that area.
Yeah, good margins from anyone in organics that I speak to on organic oats. Now, I suppose, look, more people to get into it, maybe the likes of Flavins or the big buyers, maybe they might be able to take this amount that's coming into it. But as it stands, anyone you speak to, they all say, no, we're doing well on the oats. There's a few quid out of them.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what you have to look at. And, you know, organics, people might think, you know, Ginny, there's no chance this is for me. But what Martin is kind of demonstrating is that, you know, you don't have to be, you know, fully organic. You can have half your farm in organic, you can have part of your farm in organic, and oats fits into that market very, very well. Whether it be as an animal feed or, as you say yourself, for the likes of food grades oats, for the likes of porridges and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's quite a few people interested in it, and you know, it's money at the end of the day. If it's making a margin for you, given the challenge of the tillage industry this year and last year, I mean, we'd be all for it, you know.
Yeah, 100%. That's what we have to look at. John Kelly, also local Chagas advisor, is speaking about crop nutrient management planning. So look, I suppose an area that every tillage farmer has to look at year in, year out.
Yeah, and I suppose the nuance to it this year, MJ, is that the new fertiliser register is in place. So really what that means is that, you know, when a farmer goes into the local co-op or merchant to buy their fertiliser, they have to know how much they're allowed to buy, because anything they buy goes up on the register, which the Department of Agriculture can look at, and they can see whether or not, based on your BIS application, whether you've exceeded your allowances or not. So it's a very key area, I suppose, that we're going to have to deal with over the coming years. And, you know, it's a vital area to try and protect water quality, and that's the reason it's been brought in. So it's a very important thing that people are going to have to do and get used to. Although I suppose, if truth be known, most tillage farmers have been doing it for years.
What is the feedback coming back, Shay? We've always heard, you know, tillage crop is going to be harder on P and K coming out of the soil. Is there feedback coming back showing that tillage farmers are that little bit lower in their bases on P and K? Are they coming back okay? Or is that info out there yet? I know soil testing is only really kicking off big time, and as you say, the fertiliser database in the last year or so.
I suppose if the local or the recent ones are the results wouldn't be back out yet, or the total results wouldn't be back out yet. But in general terms, I suppose, if you look back at the trends over the last number of years, tillage farms would generally be kind of one of the better ones in terms of the P and K levels in their soils. And I suppose that comes down to, you know, that they're using quite a bit of fertiliser. So fertiliser has been expensive the last couple of years. So what a lot of farmers have done in the last number of years has been taking regular soil samples, and that gives them an indication then of what they can use. And I suppose then what they do is they balance that against their offtakes in terms of what the crops are going to yield. So generally speaking, I would say tillage farmers are probably, you know, quite efficient when they're using fertilisers, and they're good at mining their soils as well.
Yeah, very good. Shay, your paper then is on crop agronomy and alternative crop options. So the alternative crop options, again, going to be a big one this year. A lot of winter crops didn't get in, so farmers are there and they're wondering maybe what to do. So this is what you're going to be chatting about.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, whether even the crops that did go in, I suppose, in the autumn, a lot of them are looking fairly sad now. So there's probably areas in a lot of fields that, you know, people are going to have to look and see whether they replant them or to stick with them, albeit at a lower yield. But one of the areas that people are really going to have to look at is this whole area of alternative crops, because it looks...
And we just seem to have an issue with Shay. We'll just wait for one moment and we'll see if we can get him back in. That area that Shay is going to be talking about is alternative crop
options.
There we are.
Options, but...
You're just coming in and out on me there, Shay, just for a second. We lost you for a moment. You were back with me for about 2 seconds and you're gone again. But as I said, Shay, that area he is going to be speaking about is that of alternative crop options. Fodder beet and maize are the two issues. And when we're speaking about this in advance of our chat this evening, Shay was saying that, look, the main thing is if you are looking at these, make sure you have forward sold them to an extent, or at least you have a buyer. And I suppose that is the big one. And look, given the numbers that are in dairy farming especially, and that cows just have a huge need for forage over the course of this period, there's probably, look, always going to be a buyer in your reasonable locality, but it's going to be about going out and securing them first. Just going to see if I can get Shay back, and if I can, Shay, do we have you? No, we're going to leave it there with Shay. Just seems to be a problem on the line this evening. But that is taking place next Tuesday. It's the 20th of February 2024. It's in the Tullamore Court Hotel. It starts at 7 p.m. It's free, obviously. All are welcome. And there the area is going to be organic cereals, alternative crop options, and also crop nutrient management planning. And as Shay said, so important now with the fertiliser register. So next Tuesday evening, that's taking place. Now, I'm going to shoot to a break and then I'm going to come back with Jerry Strong. Jerry Strong is the man in the know when it comes to calving cameras. He's selling them for years and years. A load of different ones on sale and some that don't need an internet connection, which is the really interesting one, especially for out farms or maybe farmyards that are far away from your house and you just can't get Wi-Fi down at them. So if you're looking into something like this, stay tuned. We're going to be speaking to Jerry in just a moment. And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. We just had a slight technical glitch there, but we're back on track and we're talking about calving cameras. And I have a man from County Galway who's going to speak to us now. He knows lots about these, and that is Jerry Strong from Ballinasloe. Jerry, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, MJ. Good evening from a very wet spring evening in Ballinasloe.
Well, I think that's the course of action throughout the Midlands, Jerry, at the moment, and indeed throughout the rest of the country. But as I said at the start of the programme, this time of the year, the main piece of machinery on a farm, it's not your tractor, it's not your slurry spreader, it's not any of these things, it's your calving camera. And farmers are completely relying on them at the moment. And this is a business you've been in for a while. Can you give us just a bit of background on it, Jerry? We're going to talk about the different options and whatnot that you have online in a moment. But how did you get into this game?
Well, we're 34 years in business in Ballinasloe, MJ. And we decided this was a market that was not well looked after in this area. In actual fact, our business has now grown to nationwide. And we're now the biggest retailers of these calving, lambing, foaling, popping cameras as well, MJ, in Ireland.
As I said, yeah, your website, I was looking at them, as you said, calving, lambing, foaling and popping. So you're hitting all the spots. Indeed, people with greyhounds and breeding dogs and whatnot, they need to keep an eye on them as well. So it must be a year-round business at this stage.
It is a year-round business, MJ, but there's another side to it which is very interesting. So you buy a calving camera from €50 up to €300. You put it in your shed. You use it for 2 months of the year. And what you do is leave it there. So what the cabin man taught me to tell all the customers was, take it down, bring it up to your house, connect to your Wi-Fi and use it as your security camera for the rest of the year.
And that is what's happening, Jerry. You see these small white cameras now up on back doors, front doors. You see them around houses. Like, they're not hugely expensive anymore. People are more security conscious, and that is what people are doing with them. And that must have seen a huge uplift of sales in your business.
Huge, yeah, because a huge amount of crimes in rural Ireland that you're aware of at the moment. So this is another angle to it. And also, when you go to take out the camera from the house, if there was anyone else living in it, they won't let you take it out, so they'll come back to me to buy a second camera the following year.
And the cameras then you have, Jerry, look, you have a range of options. It's hard to believe, but you have cameras from starting as little as €50 up to higher spec ones. But the one issue is with farmers regularly that they might have an out farm, and not only that, they may have their cattle shed. It's down at the end of a laneway. Wi-Fi doesn't reach down there from the house, and they have no internet connection down there. But you have a camera that can solve this problem.
We can't. There's actually two issues, MJ. They have no Wi-Fi and some of them have no electricity in these sheds. So we now have a new camera that's solar powered, that works off a SIM card. It'll work anywhere on your land. Some people are actually using them for herding, put it up in the field, putting it on a tree. The camera rotates 360 degrees, 90 degrees up and down, and you can have it on 40 devices at any one time.
And this one, say the solar one, Jerry, this sounds almost too good to be true. What's the retail price of one of these solar cameras?
The retail price is €300, MJ. And we believe in them so much that all our products, we give a 2-year warranty with it.
Wow.
No quibble.
Okay.
That's then, how good the product is.
Well, that does speak for itself. 2-year warranty. You won't get that. You barely get that in a brand new car, the way things are gone now. Jerry, then people are going to wonder, okay, I put this up in the field, but there's no internet, there's no Wi-Fi going to it. How does it transmit the signal from the phone to my phone from the camera? How does it work?
You get a SIM card, and now it comes with a SIM card, MJ, which you can use, or you can buy one in your local phone shop. A lot of farmers have special deals done with phone companies, and they can get a data SIM, anything from €10 up to €30, which works the camera. You need nothing else. Solar powered, that's it.
Very good. And say then for, that's the solar one, so that's maybe an outside one. Then say for farmers who, they have a power source in their shed, but they don't have the internet in the shed, is there an in-between model that you can plug it in, pop it up in the corner of your shed there with an electric screwdriver or your drill or whatever the case may be, and you can pop a SIM card into one of these ones? Does that exist?
No, that doesn't exist at the moment, but you can get a dongle or a broadband modem, it's the same thing, in your local phone shop that'll run that camera. It'll run actually 40 cameras in your shed, and they start from as little as €50 to buy the dongle.
Right, so that's the solution. You go into your local shop, you buy one of these dongles, you tell them what you want,
yeah.
And again, you can top that up monthly. You don't have to go and get a new phone bill for that that's going to be coming out of your account every month when cows aren't calving out in July and August.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. You can use it for the 2 or 3 months you need it at this time of the year.
And every village shop can top up your mobile phone data. You just walk in, just give them the number and they will top it up for you. So there's no hassle with it. And then you take your camera down and up to the house, MJ, with it again. That's very important, you know, for a lot of country people that they have this camera, security camera as well.
Yeah, there was a thing, I suppose, back in the day, 4, 5, maybe 8, 9 years ago, Cavan cameras came out. And they were hugely expensive. Like you'd get maybe an expert or someone who was a specialist in it, but you could be talking 1,500 plus VAT, 2,000 maybe to set up a Cavan camera. Like it was extortion money for maybe a smaller suckler farmer, for example, who might only have a few cows. Very hard to justify it. Like what you're doing here with these cameras is you're going in at an entry level where people can even pop them up themselves. Like you don't really need any electronic experience.
All these cameras, MJ, are self-installed. The cameras from 50 and 100 takes you 8 minutes to install, and the one at 300 takes about 15 minutes. And that's it. It's game over. You walk away, you've installed it yourself, you know how to operate it. We have people, MJ, that bought these cameras that have sons and daughters living in Australia and America, working in offices, calving cows when their parents are in bed at night watching the cameras, and they can ring home and say, listen, go down to the shed.
It's great, Jerry, when someone the far side of the world can do the work for you, isn't it? There's no excuses.
Yeah. And there's no cost in it. And they're also infrared at night. The one at that's solar powered now also has built-in LED lights that you can turn on if you cannot see with, say, a corner of the shed that's very dark, and it'll brighten it up for you. You can do everything from your phone or your television or your laptop.
Very good, Jerry. You're advertising these on Dundeal. You'll see them up on it, wireless cameras and cameras starting from €50. You have a website as well. What's your website called, Jerry? People want to log on and have a look.
www.strongs.ie. That's strongesdot.ie.
And since you've been selling these, Gerry, how many do you reckon you've sold now? Are you gone 32 county, all over the country?
We're like the GAA now. We're in every parish in Ireland, MJ. We've hit every parish. We're like the churches. We're in every parish in Ireland, and we hope to make this bigger and bigger because we want to make life easier for farmers out there. There's a huge amount of part-time farmers that couldn't afford to put in a calving system. With this system, you can put in one lamb, one calf, that's it covered.
Yeah, very good. Well, look, strong is your last name, Gerry, and you're hitting the market. You're going strong at these, and no doubt you're not going to stop. But as I say, look, you're in at an entry-level price. You're giving this to people. They don't have to spend a fortune on it, and it is something that makes life easier. And look, that's what we're all about here on the programme. We're trying to make life easier for farmers because God knows there's enough hardship involved in it at certain times of the year. Gerry, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me here on the programme, and we will speak to you again at some stage.
MJ, thank you very much. Good talking to you.
More than welcome. Gerry Strong there from strongs.ie if you're looking for a calving camera. And indeed, look, even at those prices, you might have, maybe if you're a larger farmer and you have one and it's working well, sometimes relying on one camera, you might even pick up another one and just have it there. They're small money and it could be something that gets you out of a hold. And the interesting one with that is the fact that you can use them without Wi-Fi down in your shed. Look, that sounds kind of like it's complicated, but it's actually not. Even if you have no knowledge of the internet, you might have a nephew or maybe a younger family member, and they understand about going in and buying a little dongle and popping a SIM card into it, and it'll pick up the internet then down your shed, and you'll have it there for your couple of weeks, I should say, for when you're calving. And from €50 up to €300, they definitely are the right price. Now, after the break, I'm going to be speaking about the National Organic Training Skill Net. So that's an organisation that organises organic training courses, all sorts of training courses, but mainly organic training courses for farmers who have gone into the organic farming system. And there's one of them on in Burr in County Offaly next week. Sean McGloin is going to talk to me about that in just a moment, so stay tuned.
Country Life on Midlands 103, brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, supplier of New Holland tractors in the Midlands, worshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, last part of this evening's programme, and we're moving on to organics. We have Sean McGloin. He's from the National Organic Training Skill Net, and he's joining us all the way from Germany this evening. Sean, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, MJ. How are you?
We're very good, Sean. Tell us, what part of the world are you in and what exactly you're at?
This is my annual trip to Nuremberg in Germany. We're at Biopark. It's the largest organic trade show in the world, and I suppose it's kind of like the ultimate in terms of where your produce that we produce in Ireland probably gets in, ends up to be marketed on, you know. So with customers in Germany or wherever else, you often find them at a show like this, you know.
And who would be out there from Ireland? What brands or what food sources would the average person, I suppose, know organic wise that's out there from Ireland at the moment, Sean?
Okay, so at the moment now you'd have Good Herdsman with their organic meat. You'd have the Little Milk Company with their organic cheese. You have a lot of the, we'll say, organic salmon producers, they'd be here. And then you'd have the likes of maybe newer, smaller companies with producing the kefir from Allowed, they're here. And so it's kind of a mixed bag in reality. So, but you get the kind of the whole raft of the organic sector would here. Like some years maybe Glenisk is here, some years Slaven would be here at the international market as well, you know.
And who are the big buyers, Sean? What countries or where are the supermarkets coming from that really want all this produce?
For a lot of the focus in Ireland anyway, it would be either maybe German or French. Smaller markets in Northern Europe, even little bits in America and stuff like that. And this is the place to find them, you know. Holland, Belgium, which like I know that these would be meat contracts gone into, and so this is kind of the melting pot on where people showcase their products but also have access, you know, to the probably changes in the recent years is probably okay, is probably less of a showcase here. I suppose that's probably down to Brexit or whatever, but you have practically everybody here. There'd be maybe, I don't know, there's stand, there's probably a couple of thousand organic trade stands here at the moment. You know, in Ireland, Borbia would have just 12 or 14 at the moment in the on the Borbia stand, you know.
Has anything caught your eye on the rest of the stands, Sean, European-wise, something you've just been walking around, you've looked at and you've said to yourself, wow, that's interesting, or it's an interesting take on something, or something I haven't seen before?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things. I think one thing is, like, because I've been coming here for the last, not every year, but some years for the last 8 or 9 years, and you see trends come and go. And I suppose one of the things was veganism has dropped dramatically. And I think meat is back in vogue. But the other thing that's probably quite interesting, I think, is I was talking to a company from Denmark today who have who are selling flavored water without any added sugar, whether it's sugar or aspartame, and they've worked out how to do this really, really well, and they're now looking actually for people in Ireland as well as everywhere else to trade their products, and they're going after that kind of Coke market or that soft drink market, and you're starting to see things like that happen. Other things, then, there will be a lot in that whole, I suppose, organic cereals market. There's a big area in that, and I suppose fish is doing quite well as well. So they would be changes that you'd start to see, you know.
Yeah, very good. Hugely interesting, John. You must really enjoy it out there for a couple of days. Look, obviously, you're involved in the organics hugely here in Ireland as the day job, but just seeing what's happening on a pan-European level must be really interesting, really interesting kind of busman's holiday. Back to the day job, though, Sean, and one of the courses you're organising under the NOTS, the National Organic Training Skill Net, is something that our listeners here in the Midlands may be interested about. It's a course you have on tomorrow week in Burgh County Offaly in the County Arms, and it's on the area of organic horticulture.
Yeah, you know, and I suppose, pardon the pun, we talked about meat and stuff, but this whole programme is about trying to get, we've a lot of vegetable growers that probably grow to organic standards in Ireland, but are not part of that whole support scheme that works. That's pretty impressive now from a grower's or a farmer's perspective in Ireland. And it has always been, I suppose, almost a poor relation of the organic scheme. And what this event, we've teamed up with the Department of Agriculture, the ACA, and a few other organisations to try and bring this. It's more probably of an information event than anything else on how you as a small grower could come into the organic sector and also access the support payments, because the rules have changed and people aren't aware of this. So we're just trying to create an area where we can provide that advice and help these guys get in and get, because you know, the really interesting part I think about horticulture is that in an organic system, it has probably more product per square meter than livestock or dairy and our tillage or anything that could be produced organically on a very small space. So it's this idea that, you know, if you're a small grower or maybe you're a farmer, that you're going to leave 3 acres to a family member who wants to grow vegetables, that they understand that, you know, there's other support out there that they may not be aware of. And this is trying to have a one-stop shop where Chagas will be there, Knotts will be there, the Department of Agriculture, the private advisory sector, and it'll be there to help these guys to show, because we all know in agriculture, paperwork is now a big element of it. But a lot of people, particularly the small growers, that may not have a huge tradition in agriculture aren't necessarily aware of these. And vegetable production has always probably been almost left behind, particularly the smaller guys. So we're just trying to level the playing field, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's look, there's a lot on offer on it. It's on from 10 to 4. It's on tomorrow week, as we said, in County Armagh's Embour Organic Farming Scheme Information Day for horticultural growers. And as you say, look, it's an information day. It kind of gives you all of the info at the start if you're interested in looking into that area. Before you go, Sean, just for people who have signed up to organics, they need to do a training course, a lengthy training course over the course of the next number of months before the end of September, I believe. You run them as part of Knots. Can you just give people just a word on that?
Yeah, so both ourselves and Chagas would run the course. Ours is normally done over weekends. Well, there's a lot of people in that are going to organic farm and also work and they have to hold different jobs. So it's 25 hours, normally 2 weekends. Our website, and we have them all over the country. So whether you're in the Midlands or the North or the South, doesn't matter. We will have one relatively close to you. You know what I mean? And so, you know, ideally we would prefer people would do this before they come in, but you have to have a discount. You can, there's absolutely no issue with that, but if you want to get the attractive payments, you have to have this course done before the 1st of October.
Very good.
And okay. Knots.ie has them all on it, you know.
Yeah, Knots.ie, and check it out and just to be aware of it. Sean, we'll let you back to your trade show and back to Nuremberg. Many thanks for joining me here from Germany, and we will speak to you again on the programme. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Sean McGloin there from Knots, and joining me all the way from what's the largest organic trade show in Europe. And interesting what Sean said there, the push away from veganism and also stuff like organic flavoured water. Really, the market will just keep trying to think of things that it can sell. And there's one, no calories, it's organic, and people may be interested in it and looking for Irish product there in that as well. So look, there's always people thinking about what they can sell and what the market might be interested in. That is it for this evening's programme. I want to say thank you to all of my guests this evening. Thanks to John Cleary, who joined me at the start of the hour. Shay Phelan from Chagas was speaking about the event in Tullamore next Tuesday evening. Shay got cut short. Have to apologise to Shay for that. We didn't get to chat about the crop options there. Jerry Strong was on to us about calving cameras at strongs.ie if you're interested in one of his products. And Sean McGloin there talking about that horticulture information day tomorrow week in the County Arms. That's it for this evening's programme. I'm going to say many thanks for joining me. I will be back with you in 7 days' time, as always. Shows repeated Sunday morning, 7 a.m. until 8 a.m. And wherever you get your podcasts, you can get us. We'll be up on Friday. Type in MJ space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y, and we will pop up. So happy Valentine's Day. Good night and God bless.